in terms of your final delivery, in terms of your final delivery to your consumer. So that is first aspect. Globalization. Globalizations are opening communication, globalizations are opening alignments, globalizations are making various impossible things today possible. Now, as a result of this, there's always a fight, and each one is trying to grab something better available in the global market. It is changing the standards. Earlier, Indian used to, before 90, when the competition was not there, we had our own way of doing things, we had our own pace of doing things. Today, no more that is acceptable. It has become much faster, much rapid in terms of executions and all. So that globalization changes the standard, globalization changes the parameters, globalization compels you to be at least on par with global practice, if not better. So that's another reason why your operation strategy has to be really sound and developed well. Costs are rising day in, day out. And this rising cost, which is primarily a result of inflations, needs to be tackled. And every time it is not possible to pass on that rising cost to your consumers. If you do that, consumers will certainly look for alternative. And they have plenty of alternatives. Please believe me, they have plenty of alternatives to switch to. So in such scenario, how to tackle the rising cost? There is a leverage here. We'll understand better ahead. But idea is like, if you improve your delivery, you retain your consumers who will come to you again and again. This will help you to save on certain cost of searching consumers. Now, that's where if you really keep on doing this exceedingly well, you are able to save on your variable cost or your fixed cost, etc., utilization-wise, and that will increase your margin. So maybe you are not able to sell it at a higher price, but if your margins remain healthy, you are in business. You can fight the challenges of business. So that's what rising cost and its relation to operation strategy. So it should always work in a way that it helps you to improvise, it helps you to make you productive, which will apportion your cost in such a way that cost for business, fixed variable, etc., starts coming down, and that will increase a margin for you. Shrinking margin, as I said, even margins are today shrinking. So when consumers really get in the depth of it, when he knows that he's your key consumers, when he knows he's your major customer, etc., many times consumers demand an understanding of your cost structures and complete control even on your margins, etc. So now in such case, you have no option but to shrink your margin. But when you do that, health of the organization need not be sacrificed for, and that is possible only through a very sound and rugged operation systems and an operation strategy if you have. And that is a crux why you need an operation strategy. So let's understand something out of example that I have with me, where the second example is given very much within the book. The first one is that, say, like, I am aware of having dealt on those aspects, etc. So in automobile company today, if you were to look at before, I will say 3 odd years, or before 3 to 4 years back, a Maruti had the most sound complete integration of the entire supply chain management. Supply chain management was part of their operation strategy. Operation strategy was aligned to the market where the products, there were so many variable products, the popular, most demanded, to like newly introduced, etc., and all these things. But the way they were dealing with the entire back end was a result of sound strategy of operation. Operation was aligned to the overall corporate strategy. And to give you the example, whether it is a mass production or supply chain management, mass production was not necessarily a strategy. It was a supply chain management that was there. Outside, used to see that, oh, Maruti is, because it's a now large company, so many people are ordering Maruti, they are going to produce more, or therefore they are going to economize. No, that was a picture that people who did not understand got. But it was a result of excellent supply chain management, where right from dealership to various vendors who provide them the raw material versus their logistics partner who move their cargo vehicles to the dealership where the inventory is finally being stored. And even before dealership, there are state-level godowns where they bill it. From there it is billed to the dealership, etc. Now, all this thing was so well integrated through an IT backbone where a vendor X who's supplying, say, steering, say, Sona steering, can really know what is required today, what is required a week from now, what is required for a month from now, 3 months from now. There's a complete transparency. Nobody is like, you know, trying to play with others in terms of requirements and all. All this thing, looking at it, the logistics guy will know, okay, how many trucks that he will be required to deploy. So he plans in advance and everything moves in such a way. They have their sales rate, they have their, you know, dealer acquisition rates, etc. All refined and fine-tuned in such a way that there was no time, and each one can see transparently what is happening. Each one can therefore determine their scope of work very well, plan their adequate resources and ensure that what they committed for delivery is delivered. And as a result, overall Maruti was able to meet the dealership requirements, and when dealership requirements were met, they were originating naturally from the market conditions. So market conditions were met, and therefore Maruti remained and even today continues to be a leader in many of their models. So this is not like a ad hoc exercise that was happening. They have chartered a long-term strategy where entire supply chain integration, process integration, product integration, etc. have happened. And so much so that today they are able to face the onslaught of competition, which many others are finding it difficult. So having done that, I go to the example which is given in the book, which is Japanese companies versus American companies, etc. When Japanese entered any field, and for that matter, it became an enigma for various other companies. Like, we have been into this field for last so many years, for decades and all. But how come Japanese are suddenly, you know, coming in the market and they are like kind of wildfire is catching up, their products, their acceptance is very high. How come they are able to produce so much at a less cost, and, you know, all those things. And those are the areas where companies in America just started following what probably Japanese were doing. So it's like Japanese are producing more, therefore they are able to, you know, have the cost down. Americans started, say, probably copying it that way. That's what their understanding was all about. And they started producing more. And they thought that brings down their cost, and therefore they were able to compete. They declared their lower prices, etc. But they still failed to compete with Japanese on that. Result being, what was not seen was the crux. So what was not seen was, again, a sound and rugged supply system, supply chain that Japanese have evolved with their stakeholders, which included right from dealership to, you can say, the vendors to the company officials, various departments within the company, all work in such a sync that there is no excess, there is no non-availability. Each one is giving their commitment, that commitments are met so well that everybody in the stakeholding chain was benefiting, and therefore everybody got committed to that entire supply chain management concept. And that led to a revenue increase for everyone. It led to better margin for everyone. And it led to competitive differentiation in the market. Market started accepting their product very well. And as a result, their share and all started increasing. Competition found it very difficult. Later on, a lot of investigation, research and all brought out the Toyota strategy, or brought out the, you know, other Japanese companies' Six Sigma strategy or whatever you say. All those things then later started coming out, which then company embarked on adopting, etc. So that's what, and you create an efficient operation strategy for your organization, which is aligned to your service deliverables. You create a unseen differentiation edge, which very difficult for competition to every time catch up with, and that will continue to hold you in high esteem in the mind of your consumers. And as a result, they will keep coming to you, and when they keep coming to you, your share of wallet, your, you know, search for them, cost on that gets reduced. They buy from you. Your process improvement will lead to cost optimization, leading to better margins and all. So all benefits come directly to the organization. So that's the importance of an operation strategy for any organization. This we have understood by, say, probably two examples. Continuing our understanding of operation strategy and its importance. Companies often do not understand the differences between operational effectiveness and strategy. Yes, very critical point. Strategy in itself is a very, very at times a confusing word. People try to express strategy into long statements or deliverables or, you know, running into chapters, etc. I have given you more than enough an example where strategy can be short and crisp, but clearly gives a direction. It clearly defines the times. It clearly gives a scope for each one to, you know, work upon, and that scope should help you to dive deep into what all you are supposed to do, and therefore you can align your resources better. Now that's the, when it's a strategy part, what is critical to know that operational effectiveness is a different ball game. You have carved your strategy, you have tried putting your resources, etc., but is your operational part is effective? Whatever that you are doing to ensure that delivery that has been committed to consumer, is it getting done effectively? So now when I put you in this manner, yes, you will come to know that I am checking about input versus output ratio. So how much you are inputting to get that service delivered versus what is the outcome of that? Is it effective? Is it effective in your favor? Or it is effective in consumer's favor? If it is effective in consumer favor, that means you are doing this at a higher cost and therefore your margin is under pressure, may not be a healthy strategy for the organization. If you are doing it for your this thing, it's a win-win for both. If you are able to do this effectively well, you are not only able to create a competitive differentiation, you are able to do this at a better margin, you are able to provide same experience to your consumers, and therefore here both tend to gain. So what is critical is to understand operation effectiveness and operation strategy. Strategy is all direction, time bound, and what is expected to be delivered to your consumers. Operation effectiveness is how much input you create, how much input you give in to get the desired output, and whether that output to input ratio is favorable in your side. That's the effectiveness in short. So you need to really understand operational effectiveness and the difference between operation strategy. Moving forward, operational effectiveness is the ability to perform operations task more efficiently than competition. Strategy, on the other hand, is a plan for competing in the marketplace. So what we are saying is conquer your market, while operation strategy is a more task oriented. It clearly says task 1, task 2, task 3. It clearly says how it is linked. It clearly defines what task 1 has to at what stage pass on a goods to the task 2 and all those things. So that task 2 is capable to add value and pass it on to task 3. So it goes into more a task and managing the task, while strategy is more a marketplace action. So how will you win the market in operation strategy? How will you be effective in delivering your promised delivery to the consumers? So that's the difference. We will try and understand this also by a example, which is coming in this thing. So what we were trying to tell you is an example that I will take is from the field of exactly this pizza deliveries, etc. Now, when you see this, you have a pizza as a Domino's, this thing, if you see Domino's pizza versus there's a local pizza guy who also promises you the same thing. You know, he's also ventured into a pizza. He thinks that by being in Parel, because Domino's is there, I can also get a good order, etc. What he fails to realize is he's not looking at various other operational aspects behind. So he's gone into buying a very soggy box, say, for example. He is not bothered to scientifically evaluate what the box specification should be. So when his pizzas are delivered, pizza gets soggy. While friends, you don't know, but Domino's spends crores in working out the ideal delivery material. So when Domino's pizza reach you, they not only remain hot, but at the same time, they are not soggy. So if this has to happen for their every delivery, you can understand that they are not only committed. So that's the strategy, is to differentiate from the perspective of a quickness of delivery. Operation side is also linked. Yani now the call comes, the logging of the call has to be also complete. When a client calls up, he is in the state of uncertainty. He wants to ask you क्या टॉपिंग्स अवेलेबल है, पिज्जा बेस क्या है. सो ही इज इन टू दैट, यू नो. सम आर वेरी क्लियर दैट ही हैज सीन योर मेनू एंड इज ऑर्डरिंग, बट सम आर वेरी राउंड अबाउट कस्टमर्स. सो टास्क हु रिसीव्स द कॉल, दैट पर्सन इज सो क्रिटिकल. ही हैज टू फाइनली कन्फर्म एन ऑर्डर, सो दैट ऑर्डर दैट इज बीन टेकन इन इज वेल अंडरस्टूड. फ्रॉम देयर द साइकिल ऑफ 30 मिनट्स दैट स्टार्ट internally. He has to pass on it to the right person, the right person has to produce it, put it onto the delivery counter, the thing has to get packed, the delivery boy is aligned for delivery, so he picks it up and he finds the best possible way to reach your location and deliver it to you within 30 minutes. So that's the entire operation effectiveness part that I have covered for you in terms of example. So not only that, the box example which I gave you, so there are many such things that goes in operation strategy while you continue to pursue your market strategy to remain different in the market, win the market. But there is an aspect of operation strategy that allows you to create that differentiation, and that differentiation is your only winning advantage. And therefore the operation strategy is a critical, is one of the crucial aspect of your sound organizational strategy also. So we will now understand what is the need for a operation strategy or a service operation strategy. See, organization, any organization if you take, is consisting of a multi-product or multi-SBU setup, where each one is trying to deliver a final goods to the consumers. Internally they are supposedly attached, but finally the outcome which is going to the consumers may or may not be different. And it is like collectively one product or one service that has been made is reaching to the consumers. Now in such scenarios, now if these people who are behind the delivery, if they do not really conclude well, if they do not create a bonding among themselves, if they create a organizational barricades, if they create more ad hoc adherence based obstacles, then what will happen is overall your service quality will deteriorate. That will lead to uneven delivery to your consumers. So consumers will come into a dilemma that it is no guarantee, like if I order to them, it will come in 2 days or it will be a same product, you know, this time. You need to really check, wo company se jo goods aayega, barobar bar bar check karna. So consumers, because he has lost the faith, he is wanting to invest his time to ensure that product that you deliver are of sound quality. Now, what if you create a scenario where whatever the back end that you have, they, if they come together and you produce a quality goods which your consumers then say, ke bhai, achha, wo company se hai, no need to check all the products, ek do dekh lena, approval de dena, their quality is good. You know, so now look at the shift that will be there in the mind of your consumers. So as a result, he will then want to definitely come to you, because it saves him various other troubles that he may have to take it up internally if he is not confident about you as a vendor. So in such scenario, therefore, the strategy is needed. As I said earlier, strategy gives a collective direction over a period of time that allows each and everyone to reallocate their resources. So having said your operation strategy, which is in line with your organization strategy, all and every subunits which are behind this delivery will have no option but to align themselves, so that each one clearly knows what is his deliverable to the next process or to the next SBU. And when that happens, overall delivery to the consumers will be far more better, will be far more uniform, will be far more quality oriented, and therefore it will create that differentiation edge in the market. So that's what a need for strategy is coming from. What are the levels of strategy? So we are now still understanding the strategy, which is slightly different from what you call an operation strategy. But understanding this itself will give you a sound idea about operation strategy, because they are related. Strategy are of three levels: corporate strategy, business unit strategy, and team strategy. So let's understand what is corporate strategy. It refers to the overall strategy of an organization that is made up of multiple business units operating in multiple markets. It's a corporate strategy. Corporates are made up of, say, multi-unit, multi-SBU, multi-product, whatever may be the case, but it's a corporate strategy. So SK bearings might have a strategy of reducing friction. So they are going to help their client to reduce friction wherever it is affecting the productivity, wherever it is affecting the output, etc. So having done that, various team behind, which is production ho, their R&D ho, their technical services ho, they all will have to come together to see that ultimate organization strategy of winning consumers through reducing friction is put in practice. That put in practice will give you a competitive differentiation, and that is going to help you win the market. That is going to win you over the competition, etc. So corporate strategy is something which is a overall strategy tying up various SBUs, various products, etc. But it promises one particular consumer experience. Now, if that is the case, therefore, having said that, then the business unit strategy comes into picture. Having said this, as I told you, that there are various business units, will have to then develop their strategy. So business unit strategy, it is connected with the competing successfully in the individual markets, and it addresses the question, how do we win in this market? Strategy needs to be linked to the objective identified in the corporate level strategy. So bearings again are subdivided into OEM bearings and electrical bearings. So OEM automobile, OEM electrical. So that is a two separate business unit. Broad competitive strategy, broad corporate level strategy being defined. How these two units can still develop their own strategy, their business unit strategy, but they have to always see that this is aligned to the corporate strategy. They have to always see that they are aligned to their own unit strategy, and therefore the best way to know that you are aligned to your business strategy is to ask that how do I win my market? So how do I gain maximum of automobile business? Electrical units will think, how do I get maximum of electrical business units? So bearings that is going into white goods and, you know, consumer durables, etc. So that's how two different business units that is come out. So that is what that business unit strategy will come in. And then comes the team strategy. So team strategy is under business units, there are going to be team which is production, team which is sales, team which is service. So each team have to have its own strategy, but it must lead directly to the achievement of the business unit and corporate strategy. Team strategy has to be definitely more focused towards the business unit strategy, but while they do that, it is naturally concluded that if they achieve what they have promised for their business unit will achieve, and therefore the corporate strategy will get achieved. But when you define your strategy, team unit strategy also has to really been audited, really been critically looked at from the perspective whether this strategy is also aligned to overall corporate strategy or not. So team strategy, no doubt, basic linkage is to the business unit strategy, has to have a linkage with also the corporate strategy. So unless business unit and team strategy are not, say, really aligned to corporate strategy, overall corporate strategic goal will not be possible to achieve. So there are levels. So corporate, business unit and team level strategy. So there are levels of strategy that we have tried understanding. So we'll try and get basic idea in little more better way. What is corporate strategy? We have basically understood. It's a structure the overall business so that all of its parts create more value together than they would individually create. And it is a collective result that comes out in your corporate strategy. So instead of each unit differently trying to do things, define their own ways and means, etc., define their own different targets and goals, etc., it's a corporate strategy is a something which is a crux, which is a nucleus. It puts collective might behind. So collectively you are able to do more better what if you do it individually. So that's a crux of corporate strategy. Organization's design affects competitive advantage and also supports the strategic goals and build strong internal competency. So when you create a corporate strategy, it will help you to really combine, leverage your internal competition, competencies. This competency will give you an edge in your delivery to the next SBU or within the SBU, etc. So it is a matter of your organizational design, but irrespective of your design, the competency-led strategy development, which will help you to create that multiplier effect, is a corporate strategy. It's a nucleus of corporate strategy. It's the essence of corporate strategy. Then comes here sharing of technology and resources, raising capital costs efficiently, develop and nurture strong corporate brands, build strong image and work with all stakeholders supporting you. Here the crux is, what do you get, Yana, if you really create a sound corporate strategy? What we are trying to tell you is sharing technology and resources become possible. When everyone aligns itself with the corporate strategy, many times what happens, common resources can be identified. If common resources are identified, overall your infrastructure investment and all will be lower. That will help you to do set up your infrastructure, that is the technology part, but at a lesser cost, and that help you to still give you the competitive advantage, still get to the desired deliverables, and all will lead to productive utilization of that asset, and as a result your margin and all will become competitive. So that's the advantage. You are able to then share resources. If you really create a common corporate strategy and align your business strategy to that, you are able to utilize assets and infrastructure very effectively, rising capital costs effectively. To do this business, to do any business, capital is required. Now, when your overall outlay, when your overall requirement of capital itself is lower, you are able to raise this very effectively from the market, borrowers, etc., or the banks and all, for which you need to really show them that how best or productive utilization of resources that you have undertaken, and that assures them that these guys are going to be definitely competitive. Therefore, the probability of their, you know, getting into non-performing looks to be very less, and therefore they will stand out in the market and my return is assured. So that's the time when you get your capital coming in. Develop and nurture strong corporate brand. Continuous corporate strategy delivery that you have, continue to achieve, continue to deliver the same experience to your consumers, your brand value will increase. The consumer will find it very difficult to shift from your brand to the other brand. Build sound image. Overall, the way you conduct yourself within the outside world, with your stakeholders, with your consumers, etc., that develops an image about the brand. So overall, the brand Tata, when I say, you will have very high esteem, very high moral values coming in your mind. So that's the brand image, or the image of brand Tata. So that's how you create a strong brand. Work with all stakeholders supporting you. When you have a very sound corporate strategy which is conveying what you are embarked upon and how your business unit and team strategies are aligned, various stakeholders will then want to support you. It could be your logistics partner, transportation partner, it could be one of your part vendor. All will want to then work with you because they can see the long-term benefit of being associated with you. So that's the advantage of a corporate strategy. Moving to business unit strategy, little more understanding, it answers the way in which you will compete in the individual market. We have earlier understood that, okay, by how will I win this market is your single answer for which you will develop your business unit strategy. It will help you to gather competitive intelligence very effectively, and that competitive intelligence becomes your starting point to create the differentiation where they are strong, where they are weak. You probably can attack the weakest part, or that's your strategy. How you create something which is different than the competition, that's the crux in your business unit strategy. And therefore, it will compel you to identify, look internally, and that will help you to unearth competencies that you have. The competency-led SBU business or a business unit strategy will really bring out the best from that unit, and that will align with the corporate strategy to deliver.